Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and our guests today are Saul Reyes. He's the Equality Texas Vice Chair. Welcome, Saul. And Bob Shimon. He is the president, of no longer Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance. It is now called the Gay and Lesbian Alliance of North Texas.
That's correct.
Serving
larger constituencies.
Galen
North Texas.
Galen North Texas. Monday is going to be lobby day in Austin for the gay and lesbian community.
For the LGBT community. Correct.
And Q community and I community and, mm-hmm. and A community, mm-hmm. meaning allies who want to go are welcome. You're running a bus down there, Bob.
Yes, we're taking a 56-passenger bus from Collin County to Austin, which is pretty astounding to me. I think a few years ago we would have thought that I thought we were taking a minivan, but my vice president, I got a 56-passenger bus. We have to fill it up. So we did.
And you did, and it's full.
It's totally full. I don't have anything to sell today.
Ah, okay.
So.
You're not here to hawk seats.
Nope.
I'm on the bus.
Yes, Patty got the last seat.
I'm excited to be on the bus because
Wait. What did you just say?
I'm on the bus.
No, Bob.
She actually took the last seat of the bus.
Yes.
Patty is last.
It's very fitting.
It is fitting you got the last. I love that. That makes the day. Let's talk a little bit about lobbying. I went down last time. Have you ever lobbied, Patty?
Yes. In Austin and in D.C.
And have you lobbied?
Yes. Yeah.
And this is new to me.
It's new to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our little lobbying 101 here.
Sure.
Saul, what does lobbying entail?
Well, lobbying, first of all, entails, if really personalizing your story, getting to meet your representatives, regardless of their, Democrat, Republican, get to meet them, identifying you're the constituent, and telling your story. And so you really personalize it and have the emotion tied to what our topic would be about. And what's great about Lobby Day, what Equality Texas does, is that we have, when you register online, you're assigned to a team. And we try to put those teams within your zip code, your county, and you'll go visit legislators and senators and representatives in your area.
And I'm a team lead.
Oh, you're a team lead? Great. Thanks, Pat. Excellent. And so it takes a lot of the fear away from it, because I know when I first joined Equality Texas 4 years ago, it was out of Amarillo. And, I've never really been in the congressman's office to talk to. And so mm-hmm. when I first attended Lobby Day, I was a little bit scared, a little bit apprehensive. What am I going to say? Mm-hmm. But as a team, you're in there. The teams are about 5 to 6 people, and you go in there. There's a great training that morning that we do when you first after you register, and you do go through a whole training for about an hour, and then you'll go as a group, and you've got your talking points on there. And so it was just a fascinating experience to get in there and just tell your story, tell them who you are, that you are, part of their district.
Mm-hmm. What's your experience with lobbying, Penny?
I've done a lot more lobbying in D.C. than I have in Austin, actually.
We only go to Austin.
Yeah.
I was active in North D.C.
Yeah. Okay, so in Washington, it's the same thing, though. Same idea.
It's exactly the same thing. And you go in, and particularly if you're speaking to someone who is representing you, you are a constituent, mm-hmm. and you have a natural place in their listening ear. Mm-hmm. And they should be listening to you, because that's you live in their district and vote for whoever serves you, right? getting in front of them is really important. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get in front of somebody who works in the office, a legislative aide or
correct.
Or someone else. You don't actually get that person, that representative's ear personally. But, you know, it can be a really empowering and powerful experience, not just for the representative, but also for everyone in the
Patty,
community.
You're not coming across at all.
Really?
Yeah. So,
I'll share with
someone. Okay, why don't you just share?
Well, I was just saying that in terms of lobbying, it can be a really powerful experience or an empowering experience as well, not just for the representative, but also for the people who are doing the lobbying.
Right.
You know, and I had one experience in D.C. with my sister came along, who's straight. She had an HRC sticker on her car, though, for many years. And that was just so great, listening to her tell her story about how it hurts her that I don't have full equality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting kind of choked up about it, but it is a very personal thing to talk to your representative because they do have that power to make change.
Now, my experience last time we were lobbying specifically for an anti-bullying bill. This time, and we're going to go through what some of these laws are that have been proposed, and it runs the gamut, and it is exciting what the legislative agenda is this time. But last time it was bullying. So I followed a group of kids from Equality, Texas. First office we go into is Florence Shapiro's. She's the head of the Education Committee, and hasn't been exactly the most friendly to the gay and lesbian community, goodbye, good riddance, because she's gone this session. But she was on our side on this. One of the kids talked about having been beaten up in a bathroom at West Plano High School, and then the principal, he did everything he was supposed to. He reported it. His mother came in, talked to the principal a week later. He goes back to the principal, asks the principal, has anything been done? Because he identified who it was who beat him up. And the principal said, well, you know, you really kind of brought that on yourself. He had that state senator in tears. She was just, he had her eating out of his hand. It was great. And she voted with us.
Right.
So, as did every senator. So the idea, you talk to Republicans and Democrats, two-thirds to three-quarters of the House voted for the lobbying bill. Now, it was a compromise bill, and
yes,
that's okay. Politics is about compromise. It's not my way or nothing. It's compromise. And not only did three-quarters of the, or two-thirds to three-quarters, but 100% of the Senate, that was great.
Exactly.
That was great.
We were thrilled when we were able to get that passed.
Bob, do you have... You were assigned to a group, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you going to be lobbying about? Do you know yet?
I believe I'm going to be lobbying about non-discrimination in the workplace.
Okay, give us a little bit of your background. What do you do?
I'm a vice president with Cinemark Theaters, and I've been living in Texas since 2006. I lived in California my whole life prior to that, so it's quite a change coming from San Francisco and 20 years in the Bay Area.
San Francisco, Plano.
Plano, very, very similar.
They are similar. San Francisco has more hills.
Water. Yeah.
San Francisco has, other than that, what's the difference?
It's pretty much the same, I think, otherwise. Yeah. No, it's dramatically different, and I wasn't very politically active in California because, quite honestly, we felt like everything kind of had been done for us, and there were certainly plenty of people out there trying to do more things. And I came to Plano, and I felt like there was this opportunity to make change. Mm-hmm. And we have a great group of people up there who most people think are kind of invisible. I mean, it's not Oak Lawn. You don't walk down the street and say, that person's gay, that person's gay. These people are in relationships and have kids, and they're living a suburban life, and it's a little bit different out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great. My background coming with Cinemark Theaters has been eye-opening because I came from a company that had domestic partner benefits, and at the time Cinemark did not, although they were considering it. And so about 3 years ago now, I think it was, we added domestic partner benefits. We have transgender protection. We have a great rating from HRC. And it always was a good place to work, but they've really focused on those issues and done a really good job making sure that they were open on equal always.
I think it's interesting, though, that you didn't specifically mention that they have a non-discrimination policy,
mm-hmm.
because you're looking at things beyond that.
Yes.
And one of the things we do not have in the state of Texas is a basic non-discrimination protection in the law for LGBT people. So you could be fired simply because you're gay or someone thinks you're gay
and I think
or transgender.
You tell people that, and I think that they're shocked. I mean, they really people don't expect that that would be something that you could legally fire somebody for.
And most good people, I mean, it's not like that happens all the time. Most good people wouldn't consider firing somebody just because of who they were. But there are those few.
I mean, you should have that protection. Yeah. It's not something that you should face in the workplace. There's.
But I think it's really telling, too, that most Americans and most Texans believe we already have that protection. Mm-hmm. And so if they already think it's there and they think it's appropriately there, why is it so difficult to get it passed and make it real? I mean, because all these people are there. They already believe it's there. They support it. We're going to talk about the Equality Texas polling. And I mean, an overwhelming majority of Texans believe we should have that protection. Why is it so difficult to pass?
Pandering.
It's always found as one of those things that people just accept. They just thought we already had it. That you couldn't fire someone for being gay. And when you are able to do the education side of it, what Equality Foundation does is educating on the issues of and people and then discrimination. And so it's just a shock to them when they realize that.
And in most big companies, like Cinemark's a perfect example, from the top, nobody would consider, this is the entertainment industry, nobody would consider, oh, you're gay, I don't know if you can work in the entertainment industry. I mean, you know, it's like, but there could be just that one theater manager whose background, you know, started as an usher, worked his way up, became a theater manager, goes to this real right-wing church, or was raised in a very bigoted family environment, really honestly in his own heart believes that being gay is wrong, and, you know, we're out here in whatever Garland, and we just don't want gay people as our ushers here in the theater, and would fire somebody. So it's important that it's there from a corporate level, just to say, even though corporate wouldn't consider firing somebody for that, just to say that's not our policy, we don't do that. You know, that's where the problems really, it comes in on the lower level usually.
Right. Exactly. It's a corporate value, and you need to display it. And we're finding, you know, as the states are taking a long time to do, Texas is a great example. You know, cities have been very responsive, and lots of the big cities here in Texas, in Austin and Dallas and Fort Worth, have put protection in place. And most of the big, you know, Fortune 500 companies, around, I think it's 80 plus percent, I don't have the exact number, have that in place. So it's educating these more medium and small companies of what the other guys are doing, and putting it in place now at the local level, and then keep pushing at the state and national level to get this in place as well.
Well, the city of Dallas has had a non-discrimination policy in employment, housing, and public accommodations now for 11 years. Mm-hmm. It was May 2002 when that was passed, and one of the ways that we got the votes 13-2, which is a great mm-hmm. vote at the Horseshoe, was to include leaders of major employers. Of citizens of Dallas, mm-hmm. and the CEO of American Airlines came, and of Blockbuster, which at the time was quite a big deal. You know, and those are the ways too, because corporate America has been so far ahead of our states and federal laws.
Even in the city of Dallas, when we passed the very first non-discrimination ordinance, and that was an employment non-discrimination ordinance for the city of Dallas itself. Big debate at the time, and it was led. We had a couple of gay city council people. We had a couple of closeted city council people who we threatened, and they voted for. We had a mayor who had been a Republican representative in Congress, and it was a fairly conservative council that we had at the time. And I remembered the mayor. He was the last vote, and he said, you know, in my company, we don't discriminate. I don't see why the city should discriminate. I vote yes. And we all went, whoa, because we already had our votes. But, you know, but he doesn't discriminate. I mean, here's somebody who, with a very conservative background. He was the person who had the seat that basically is represented by Sam Johnson right now. about as conservative as you can get in Congress.
Companies do what's good for companies, and it's good for business to have this policy in place. I mean, you get the best employees and you get the best work out of them if you treat everybody equally.
Right. And then my company recently, a few years ago, offered domestic partnerships. I work for Farmers Insurance, insurance side of it. And our home base is Los Angeles, but when you get that form and your option is there's domestic partnership, benefits was a shock to me because we are a good old type of company, claim side of it. And so they are moving, like Bob was saying, it's good for business. Equality is good for business.
It's just good for business.
You
sure
are who you are,
sure.
As long as you're doing your great good work.
And I think, too, a lot of straight people are also looking at the benefits that and protections that companies offer when they make a choice in employment as well. Who they're going to pursue, because it says a lot about the company's culture. If those things are in place and it's already there, that's a great place to work. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's, you don't see any of it in their employment policies or anything, it's nothing with recognition of LGBT people and protections for employees. That kind of says a lot to a straight person, too, about what the culture might be
at
a company.
We have a minute more to go. There are a number of bills that have been introduced into the legislature this time. Bob, you said for Lobby Day, what the groups are going to do is go and concentrate on one particular item. Do you know what your item is, Patty?
Yes, marriage.
Oh, you're doing marriage. Okay.
Although marriage isn't a huge focus. I mean, there's so many other bills that have probably far better chances of passing.
I want to bring up this wide array of different bills that are going to be up this time for consideration. They've all been assigned to committees. Most of them will die in committee, just like the vast majority of all bills introduced into the House and Senate are going to die in committee. But one of the bills is to repeal DOMA and to allow civil unions in the state of Texas. I think that's so important for a number of reasons. One of them is it gives the legislators in Rhode Island and Minnesota and Illinois cover to say, Texas is debating this. Do you want Texas to be ahead of us? And if it's not debated now, it's never going to be debated. It has to be introduced now. It needs to be introduced next time. The next time it'll get a hearing. The time after that it'll get out of the committee and get to the floor. It'll be debated. That's the way laws are.
But the repeal bill has been in since 2005. I mean, since 2007.
But it's being talked about seriously
this
time.
But that's part of that trajectory, though, is that it's been denied even a hearing all these sessions, and now it's so.
But all of a sudden now they're talking about it, and then it's going to get out of committee, and then it'll get to the floor, and then they're going to vote for it. And that's not this session, but that's how the Texas legislature works.
You have multiple representatives and senators. Please, you have a Senate bill version of it and a House bill version.
First time that's ever happened.
So you're getting it in both houses, which is incredible.
We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about the different bills that are up. I mean, it's a whole list here of different things. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. Our guests today are Saul Reyes from Equality Texas and Bob Shimon from Gay and Lesbian Alliance of North Texas. I'm not used to that name yet.
Rolls off the tongue.
It does roll right off
Gallant.
The tongue.
Gallant. It is
Gallantics. Okay, and we'll be back right after this.
My grandfather, he loved the boogie. His father, he loved it too. My dad loved the boogie.
Big Bill Morganfield is coming back.
That's right, the Son of Muddy Waters in Dallas this Saturday night for a big KNON Blues benefit event at Fort David's Pub.
Big Bill will be playing his father's guitars during this rare Dallas appearance.
Get there early. We'll have free barbecue from the Alligator Cafe.
Also appearing will be the Super Kings and Susie Q and the Shafts featuring James Hingle.
Join us for this very special blues event.
Tickets are available now at KNON.org, Bill's Records, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie.
This Saturday, March 9th, it's Big Bill Morganfield with the Super Kings and Susie Q and the Shafts featuring James Hinkle at Fort David's Pub. And don't forget that free barbecue dinner from the Alligator Cafe.
Fort David's Pub is located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas.
We'll see you there. This is a KNON benefit event.
Jim Hightower has moved to be a part of KNON's Speak Up Saturday. Jim Hightower's segments can now be heard at the start of each of KNON's Great Talk programming starting at 7 a.m. with Reverend Marion Barnett's show, Church Information and Open Forum, with the news and talk of South Dallas. Then at 9, the CWA presents Workers' Beat with the news and talk of the unions hosted by Gene Lance and Bonnie Mathias. At 10, the Dallas Observer presents Get Off My Lawn with Jim Schutz, bringing you the other side of Dallas news. Finishing up, Speak Up Saturdays at 11 is Lambda Weekly with the news and talk of the LGBTQ community, hosted by David Taffet, Patty Fink, and Lauren Landis. Now starting at each of these shows is Jim Hightower's insightful segment at 7. 8, 9, 10, and 11 a.m. each and every Saturday morning right here on the Voice of the People, KON 89.3 FM.
This is Jamis McCall from TCU, and I listen to the Lambda Week on 89.3 KON FM, Dallas.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and our guests are Saul Reyes from Equality Texas. He's the vice chair, and Bob Shimon, who is the president of Gallant, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance of North Texas, formerly known as Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance. I think you should have the formerly known in there because that will make your title even longer.
This is our first announcement, so you are getting the breaking news here because we just
love breaking news. We got a scoop.
We're still working on our final logo and some other housekeeping issues, some websites. So, anybody out there who's good at web design, we need you.
You know, I was there the night that Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance first formed.
Excellent.
I was there with Roger Riddell. We came up from the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, and we thought that there'd be about 25 people out come, and we put out 25 chairs. And 76 people showed up.
That's awesome.
So we had stacks of chairs. We're like madly putting chairs out. Yeah. And so many people.
Yeah, and Patty came back and said, who knew there were 76 gay people in Collin County? So we were talking a little bit about the legislation that Monday is lobby day. So people are going down in going to lobby in groups. Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance sending down a bus of 56 people. Should be several hundred people usually are the number of people that lobby. We're talking about some of the bills. Each group that lobbies in groups of like five will go to representatives' offices, talk to them about the particular issue. So what are some of the other bills, Saul, that are that have been proposed already, that have been introduced?
Right. The other bill is birth certificates. Representative Anchia from Dallas are introducing the birth certificates.
An alum of our show many times.
Yes, he's a very good ally for us. And that, again, allows that we would be able to have on the supplementary birth certificate for adoptions, both parents, same sex, on there. And, again, that is a big deal because it allows the parents of the same sex to be able to get a passport, to be able to go and register them for school, not have one parent, you know, all these little basic things that...
pick your kid up from school if he's sick.
Exactly.
Just practical things.
That bill has been introduced again. It was introduced in the last session, didn't get out of committee. Hopefully this session we'll go further on that.
There's an employment non-discrimination bill, and that's what Bob is going to talk about. And we talked a little bit about that. There's the repeal of 2106. Talk a little bit about that, and that's been introduced for the first time in both houses.
Of the marriage... Of the
2106, the sodomy law.
The sodomy law, yeah. And that is just a formality because, you know, it's been ruled unconstitutional, the Supreme Court, U.S. United States Supreme Court. So that's been on just to getting the word of the penal code out. But that homosexual conduct is not appropriate.
You know what's crazy is that DGLA is very involved in doing LGBT training and diversity training at the Dallas Police Academy, and we've been there over 20 years now. And every time we do a class, we have to show them, because they have the penal code right there in front of them in hard copy, and we have to show them that this is not to be enforced, even though it's still printed in the book and it has little italics underneath with an asterisk that says this is not enforceable, it was declared unconstitutional. They still waste ink to print it in the book.
Correct.
And, you know, people were so fiscally conservative. You know, here's one thing that can be changed.
Right, and it's gotten both supports. Republican strategists coming out and saying, yeah, get the language out of there. We just had an incident in El Paso where there was a couple in a restaurant that kissed, and a police officer was there and said that it was illegal for them to do that. And so obviously he didn't know that, or the education
and
there,
by
training
the way,
is not there.
It never was illegal to do that.
Right.
Sodomy law is has
exactly.
to do with sexual conduct, which
correct.
Does not include kissing.
Right. So there we go with the lack of education or the proper training on that.
Well, okay. And the bill in the Senate was in the Senate was introduced by the senator from El Paso because. It cost the city money. These two guys turned around, sued
exactly.
the police department, and won.
Because if that officer had really been educated and known that it was unenforceable. But when he sees it in the penal code, you know, he may not continue reading the paragraph to find this. But if it's not there, he can't find it, can he? So
that's
you know,
correct.
Right. And that's been introduced since the 2005 session, when after Lawrence v. Texas in 2003.
Right.
And it's still not there. And the thing is, the Texas legislature cleans up the penal code and other laws throughout Texas every session. Because as they change laws, they have to take a verbiage out. And they have usually omnibus bills that go through and sweep, you know, say, let's just get rid of the old stuff and leave the new stuff.
And it's
not hard. This
well,
is not,
and
like,
why
not
is there just
before.
One bill this time? It's because this session, apparently, there's no omnibus bill. This is the thing that needs to get cleaned up
correct.
This time. There's a bill to repeal the Superdoma that we put into the Constitution and allow civil unions. Now, we were talking a little bit before. There have been some bills like this before, but this one goes further than those bills ever have before, and it's been introduced into both houses.
Exactly.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, again, it was the senator from South Texas, I think it's McAllen, and then obviously Fort Worth representative who put that in, which is, you know, obviously, you know, that's something that Equality Texas is behind in our legislative agenda, and it's just going to be able to show the country, I think just by talking about it and getting this on both houses, to show the country that, you know, Texans are ready to accept that. And then we've moved a lot further, even in Texas, than we would assume on that. So that's, again, it's going to be able to have take out the Defense of Marriage Act and be able to allow same-sex unions.
There's one bill called the Romeo and Juliet bill, and this would affect our producer Clint tremendously. What is the Romeo and Juliet?
The Romeo
law?
And Juliet law is if you know, basically the way it was written was if teenagers, you know, if you had to be over 14, and if you had sexual relationships with someone within the three-year period, it was okay. It had to be consensual.
Or consensual.
Consensual, right? And between 14, 3 years, so 14, 17 years. However, it only was there for male and female couples. And so if it was a female couple, that older person could be, you know, tried as a sex offender and have that on the record. So the introduction of this legislation is to make it fair and include the same sex.
Yeah, so it would just equalize everything.
Equalize everything.
And if, as long as you're within 3 years, then you couldn't be prosecuted for rape.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, there are several insurance discrimination bills that are there. What kind of insurance discrimination
it's
is
really
going on?
It's really just all the gamut of it. Basically, just to introduce that you cannot discriminate any kind of like insurance rates, insurance. You know, if you're looking at the different areas or just rating for including sexual orientation, they're just putting it into law. Just mm-hmm. adding that terminology in there.
I have a great example. People say, you know, insurance discrimination, what difference does it make? I used to have a company. We had a store on Cedar Springs, 75219 zip code, but we had an office in the 75204 zip code outside of Oaklawn. And so we had insurance for our employees. The rates in 75219 were through the roof. So we gave our corporate address three blocks away, and the rates were half.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right.
And why?
Amazing.
Because it was those kinds of people, obviously.
Well, and we don't realize everyone has to have insurance, and then there's still a lot of discrimination in insurance. You know, I'm coming from the insurance field, and I can see not only just
and your job is you're in charge of discrimination to see if you can jack up the rates.
No.
Talk about insurance. You know, we were talking just before the show, and my house was broken into.
Right.
Okay, so we have a deductible on homeowners insurance. So it was over our deductible, high deductible. The insurance company comes back and says, no, those were the retail prices. We're going to cut those prices in half. So my $2,000 deductible becomes a $4,000 deductible. We're getting nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a different conversation.
Depreciation.
Exactly.
That wasn't discrimination. That was just...
That's depreciation.
They did that to everybody.
Yeah.
Equally.
That is equal. Yes, they are. Well, and here's where it wasn't equal. Oh, is he a tenant of yours? Mm-hmm. No, we live together.
Right.
No, you probably need two different policies there. I've never had two policies.
Right.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you have, even with your auto insurance, and I'm going to go a little bit more into insurance, but, putting sexual orientation in there, and if we are able to get some sort of civil union, you don't have to have two policies, because when you are, you can have both each other on each, you can have both of you on the same policy with having two separate policies, because normally you won't write a policy together because you're not legally married in the insurance industry, and that affects your rates. I mean, that is something that the insurance industry...
But talk about a cost. If I had to have my own separate whatever policy, renter's policy, I don't know what it would be.
You would. It's a tenant, exactly.
For just two of us having a house. Because we're not married. What are you, absolutely out of your minds?
Right.
My answer to the insurance agent was, bring it on.
Right.
Yeah, you want to go fight that fight? I'm up for it.
Right. And there's multiple.
And they figured out a way that we could both be on, you're on the same police report. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, right. Right. And so we're hoping that these bills, there's several bills that are introduced in the insurance industry to eliminate that sort of.
But seriously, talk about a discrimination there. If I had to have my own policy because we weren't married, in the Texas sense, that would be how much? $500 a year extra that I would have to pay just because I wanted to have my house insured.
And then if you have your auto insurance on the same policy, you could have, if you're married or you have a partner, you have multi-card discounts and all other discounts that you get because you're acknowledged to be married. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get those, you're costing you even more on that front, too.
Right. There are lots of little ones like that, like renting a car with somebody until they fixed it. It used to be, if you're not married, two of you can't rent the car together without paying an extra fee, but you could rent the car together if you don't. And, for insurance, if you're married, it's one insurance fee. But, and I've said many times at an insurance, at a rental car counter, fine, but he's driving it and I'm not paying it and I'm not putting him on the policy. So if that's how you want it, fine, but I'm not paying you extra.
Well, Aaron and I recounted many years ago, we had gone to the Avis counter in New Orleans.
And they were one of the first ones to actually fix it, finally.
They did. And the guy at the counter said, marriage by contract in Louisiana. And he married us right there because we were signing the contract together for a car.
That's great.
We're so proud.
There's one other bill, though, that's before the legislature, and this is the University Domestic Partnerships. Tell us what
correct.
That is.
That's House Bill 1140. That's relating to the authority of certain universities to provide benefits to certain qualified individuals, and that's how they are wording that. It's qualified individuals. So the big debate was University of Texas and Texas A&M system allowing domestic partnership, but now it's going to be qualified individuals. So they're broader, general, and inclusive of everyone, which I think is fantastic.
This has come up before. It came up last session. It was a vicious debate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just really nasty. And the thing is, the way the law reads, dating back to when the other side of the aisle ran the House, University of Texas and A&M are required to offer benefits that are comparable to the other top 20 systems in the country. There are two systems that don't offer domestic partner benefits right now. Guess which ones they are.
Texas and A&M?
So of the top 20 systems in the country right now, those are the only two that don't. Right. So actually, by law, they're required to offer those benefits, except it's been blocked by the legislature to enforce their own law.
Right. And I guess it's really the wording. It's all in the wording in the session, the certified or certain qualified individuals. So.
Well, and that's in order to distinguish, or so that they can decide, is it going to be all domestic partners? Is it just going to be same-sex domestic partners? And that's where the debate always comes in. And the amount that it usually costs a company or a do you know what it costs your company? It's usually minimal.
It's less. I believe it was less than 2% on the additional premiums the company pays typically, and that's because most of that comes from opposite sex partners who take who sign up also for the benefits. So it's only it's just a fraction of that 2% is actually from same sex couples.
DART is having this discussion right now about adding, and it was real interesting listening to their discussion, and they're doing everything they can. Let me reword that. The suburban representatives are doing everything they can to delay implementing this. And it's going to get implemented. But they're doing everything they can. Thank you, Plano. Thank you very much, Garland. Those were the two leaders.
And I had a conversation with our director from Plano a couple days before the vote, and he told me he was very supportive. So I was a little surprised to hear his...
They're discussing it, and they're self-insured like most large companies are. So they're saying, so what is this actually? This is what the premiums are going to be, but this is just an actuarial question. What's it really going to cost, DART? Let's say somebody who's a domestic partner has cancer. What's it going to cost? That's the point, though. What the premiums are, if you're self-insured, covers you. That's the point of being... of premiums, and especially being self-insured, if you've actuarially figured it out correctly, the premiums cover the payouts, and if it's a little bit high 1 year, so your rates go down. If it's a little bit low, then your rates go up a little bit. But unless you had a real whack job figuring out your rates, that's what it's called. And they spent an hour, and they delayed the vote because they couldn't figure out what it was really going to cost them.
It's minimal. It doesn't matter.
We should only let people have two children on their benefit plan, and that's it. After that, the rest are uninsured. I mean, do companies debate that? Do businesses debate that?
No. The question I always ask is, how many gay people do you hire in order to keep your insurance rates down?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, because they're basically diluting their costs.
That's exactly what they're doing. If you have to put wives on the policy and husbands on the policy, and then your kids, that's where the rates start going up. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and our guests are Saul Reyes from Equality Texas. He's the vice chair of that very fine organization, and Bob Schimmann, who is the president of the newly named Gay and Lesbian Alliance of North Texas. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Sonny Boy Mark, and I'd like to take a minute here to tell you about over 60 minutes of great blues listening available now on KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 Blues CD. This is some great stuff, folks. 15 tracks from the Two Tones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Collie, Johnny Red and the Roosters, the Chris Watson Band, the Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone with Charlie Love, David Millsap, Sir Loin and the Ash Kicking Machine, Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, and J.J. and the Detonators. The 1,000 copies we made are selling fast, and we won't reissue it. Get yours now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records and Rewind Music. The CD is available as a download at cdbaby.com. All proceeds benefit KNON, sponsored by Forever Young Records. Vinyl copies available at Forever Young Records only. For more info on Texas Blues Radio, Radio Volume 5, visit KNON.org. Your ears been bending for some blues? Well, feed them the real thing with Texas Blues Radio Volume 5.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
This is William, your videographer for the KNON talk shows. You can watch Lambda Weekly by going to the KNON.org website. Click on schedules to the left side of your screen. Choose Lambda Weekly's page. Scroll to the bottom of that page. Then choose your favorite show to watch or download. This show will be ready for viewing by lunchtime Tuesday. Have a great day.
This is Kimberly Truex of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly, the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio talk show anywhere in the world, coming up on our 30th anniversary. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink, and our guests are Saul Reyes from Equality Texas and Bob Schumann from the former Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance, now known as the Gay and Lesbian Alliance of North Texas. And that whole thing is their new name.
Yes. We're going to add a few more words in there, too. We haven't decided yet.
It'll be a sentence. We were just talking about Lobby Day coming up on Monday and how many of us are going. And you can still sign up. You can go where?
Well, actually, you cannot. It closed Friday. It was the last day to be able. But what we encourage people to do, if you're not able to attend, is to call a representative on Monday. It's, you know, statewide. If you can't attend, please call your representative on Monday. And you can go to our website, equalitytexas.org, look at all these issues we just talked about. All the.
But some people aren't going to show up. So if you just show up at
You might be able to show up and get there in Austin.
It's the Methodist Church?
Yes, United Methodist Church on Lavacas near the Capitol.
It's
there.
A block to the Capitol. Facing the Capitol, it's to the left, one block.
Right.
So, and great place. That's where all of the protests are staged.
Right.
It's a great church. We love that church.
Yeah.
There was an AIDS and HIV advocacy day this past Monday. That's where they met. There's a, they do a senior citizens one. They just do all kinds of great stuff from that church.
They really do.
You were saying trans hate crimes are also being introduced.
Right, and we've done this every session, and again, the Texas legislature only meets every other year, 140 days, so yeah. We don't get many opportunities. So it's only in odd years that we get to lobby our legislators while they're considering bills. So every year since 2001, when Texas passed the James Byrd Jr. hate crimes law in Texas, mm-hmm. That included protections for based on hate on
sexual orientation.
It did not include anything with regard to gender identity and expression. And so every session since 2001, we've tried to get that added. And so that's up again this time. And federally, in the James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Act, we have that protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so interesting, too, if you look across the 50 states and the federal government, too, we kind of have a typical progression. We start with some sort of hate crimes protections and the they can't kill us kind of law.
Right.
And then it sort of begins with employment non-discrimination, mm-hmm. Which is sort of where we're stuck in Texas, and federally, too.
Mm-hmm.
Except there's some sort of, we had to repeal at Dynast Hotel, so that's sort of an employment non-discrimination, sort of. But we don't have it federally either. And then there begins to be some other things like housing, public accommodations, other things that take place. And then we finally get some relationship recognition. And that seems to be the path across any state that's already at marriage equality. We've taken that same path in that order. So we're hoping that we can overcome this time, get our hate crimes law complete, and we can move forward and maybe even get some headway on employment.
And I've heard people argue, why do we care about whether or not gender identity is in there? When it comes to discrimination now, most discrimination against gay people is because of the way that you're perceived. Patty, if you're considered too masculine, or Saul, if you were considered too feminine, and that's really gender identity. It has nothing to do with your actual sexual orientation. It's the way you present yourself. So we want those in there to protect gay and lesbian people as well as transgender people.
And trans people have an inordinate, ungodly amount of hate.
And to protect straight people who don't happen to meet the stereotype. And there are lots of those, too.
Right. And in addition to that bill, Representative Coleman introduced the gender markers on birth certificates for transgender to be able to do that. And they may not require to have surgery in order to do that. So now you have to have a surgery to get your driver's license changed over. And so before that, you have to live as your other sex, and still have your driver's license of your prior identification. So.
Equality Texas recently did a new poll, and it was just asking people, based on a number of items, how do you feel about these things? The number one thing, it's been the number one for
and they're comparing 2013 to 2010. It's been number one, but it even moved stronger. Guaranteed right to visit your partner in the hospital is number one. I find that one interesting, that that's the number one thing. It went from 88% support to almost 91% support, went from 10% against to a real hardcore 7.2% who's now against having that right.
And this is a polling of Texas voters, right?
Polling of Texas
all
voters.
All demographics, all background.
How is this poll done, do you know?
It's I keep forgetting the name of the company. Gangiriff? We hire a company to do it for us, and they do the polling, and so they have the questions and demographics, religious background, variety, and ethnicities, and it's, we're looking up in percentage. If you go to our website, you can see the full poll, and they'll have links in there, and you can look at the distinction of where certain rural areas versus the urban areas, how they voted, all the cross tabs. So it's just incredible results that we had, and we were very happy from 2010, where a majority of our of the questions or one of the legislative items was over 50%. There was a few like
the
marriage
only two that didn't were marriage.
Marriage,
but now even there are two marriage questions. One of those pushed above 50%. It was, should Texas recognize same-sex marriages, not civil unions, marriages that are done in another state. It was 48%. It's now 52% who are in favor. It was 46% against. It's now 43% against. So the against have gone down. Mm-hmm. I guess some of those moved into the unsure, and some of the unsures moved into the sure. Why not? The only one that's below 50% still is allow gays and lesbians to get married in Texas. Was 42%. It's now 48%, almost 47.9.
What about to brink, though? No, not a couple of years.
Well, recognizing from other states, then maybe the state won't fall off into the ocean if we do it
right
here. Or maybe we should just allow them to do it in Houston, and we'll see if that part of the state falls off. And if not, we could bring it up I-45 a little bit. But the number of people who are against, I'm wondering if 7.2% think that we should, our relationships should be recognized for hospital visits. The other one that went way up is guaranteed right to make end-of-life medical decisions, and those, that goes hand in hand. That went from 75% supporting to 80% supporting. That's a big, healthy jump. Well, that's more and more people who really are recognizing our relationships, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, these results are just... when we get with Lobby Day and we're talking to a representative, and like I said, you can get these results on our website. You can present these numbers, because a lot of times the representatives just assume, well, you know, they're not these type of people want to support these issues. But that's why we're doing these polls at each odd year for the legislative session, to go in there with what we call our ammunition or support, because you can't. You know, go against this poll. I mean, it's basically Texans saying, yes, we are for this. And so that's why I believe in, when we go in there, when you guys are in Lobby Day and you have your assigned thing, you've got your toolkit to go to, it's just, and we have the poll numbers to support us.
And that's really what lobbying is really about.
Yeah.
You have to convince your legislator not only that it's the right thing to do, but that they have some sort of cover. I mean, that's really the bottom line here. They want to be able to tell their constituents when they're up for re-election again why they voted a certain way on things. And if they're voting with us on something, they better have a good reason in a hostile, an LGBT hostile district to say, well, I did this for this very logical reason. And
right,
you know what I mean? And so that's what they're really looking for. And we're there to provide that, supply that. And when we say 80% of Texans support this, you should too.
You know,
that's a great way for them to say, oh, okay.
The other thing was, they have some experience voting for something that was perceived as benefiting the gay and lesbian community. Even though the bullying bill did not specify gay and lesbian, it's seen as this gay issue.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Senate voted for it. Nobody was voted out because of it. They lived.
Exactly.
Right.
They all lived.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, too, about the hospital visitation, because it's now a federal directive, executive order from the President of the United States, that we be allowed to visit our partners in the hospital, in any hospital that receives federal funding.
And it's only 7.2 who are against it.
I know.
Those are people who are going to be against it. anything that says anything gay in it. You know, I don't care that you have a partner, die alone. I don't care about you're making end-of-life decisions. I think the reason on that one might have gone up is, oh, end-of-life decisions, you know, the person might die quicker. Go ahead and make those decisions. But one that didn't move at all that's kind of interesting, it was already up there at 75%, is employment non-discrimination. Now, the number that were against it went down, but the number that were for it didn't go up. How do you interpret that? And maybe, Bob, how do you interpret that one, being in business? And
it's kind of hard to understand why they wouldn't see the same growth in that area. But I think people just expect that it's already there. And almost it's a non-issue. I can't believe that we spend time talking to politicians and business leaders up in Collin County about this issue, because it seems like it should be something that's already in place.
It's such a no-brainer.
It really is.
Well, you know, I think the 1% that went down, they're probably, their new attitude is, okay, not for it, but I'll live with it, because it really doesn't affect them other than they have to work with people who aren't fearing for their jobs, and I would think that would be more pleasant.
Well, I think it's really interesting that the Lawrence decision came down in 2003, mm-hmm. and up until that point, I mean, my memory is not so gone at my age now that I don't remember this at all, but we were considered criminals mm-hmm. in the state of Texas. We were considered by our very existence to be criminals. And there was a move, you know, saying, well, criminals can't teach school, criminals can't do this or do that. And so we were criminals. I mean, and suddenly that was gone. Yeah. And so I think it's extraordinary that our fellow Texans are where they are even today, because they weren't there in 2005 when this became an issue for the Prop 2 ban in our Constitution. But look how far they've moved.
Talking about some of the other bills, there's one to allow partnership benefits for university employees. That's 65% are supporting that. Only 27% are against. How is voting against that bill a winning strategy for any politician? It just isn't, is
right,
it?
Right, no, I don't want to say pandering, but it's just going with...
It's to appease the Kathy Adams and their districts.
maybe some of more vocal constituents, I would say. And that's why it's important for us as a community or anyone to really get on the phone and call if you can't visit them, because it's not that intimidating of a process. Very friendly. I had to go... My first assignment when I went to Lobby Day was to go to Mr. Craddock's office. You know, and he was... But, you know, very welcoming, sat with us for 10 minutes, because Stafford did.
Do you know, that is one thing I want to emphasize before Lobby Day,
yeah.
is it's okay to go talk to Mary Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Real sweet. If you have a chance while you're down there, go meet her. I love Mary to death. Mm-hmm. She's going to come on our show one of these. If you happen to see her, pin her down for a date, Patty.
I will.
But she's going to vote with us. She proposed some of this legislation and is co-authoring some of it. Go and speak to some of your Republican representatives, mm-hmm. either yours or in...
Right.
I went to one, he represents Waxahachie. You would think that that's not really the most liberal area. And we were talking about lobbying, and he really wanted to know what goes on in schools that this is necessary. And some of these people that I was with gave him some stories and told him about what goes on, and he voted with us.
And I think a lot of people don't really realize that. I mean, there are kind of like these rules of thumb, sort of, so to speak, with letters to the editor, for example. Someone writes a letter to the editor that represents 100 people, you know, in
yes.
general, that think that way and feel that way, but someone took the time to write. And the more people who write, obviously, that's hundreds of people. And the same one with lobbying. If you step forward or you make that call to your legislator, that's like 100 people mm-hmm. Who didn't make a call, but they feel that way. Mm-hmm. And so the more calls they get and the more visits they get in their office, if they're constantly hearing about this from people who care about these issues, that's the way things change. That's the way they think, because that's what they think about when they go to vote on these issues.
But employment non-discrimination isn't going to cost anybody anything to not fire people.
Mm-hmm. No. Right.
You know, speaking of letters to the editor, some guy named Bill Clinton wrote a little letter to the editor the other day.
He did. He wrote a little letter to the editor of
the Washington Post yesterday, and I love this. It says the writer is the 42nd president of the United States.
You have to identify him in case right. people don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And it's entitled "It's Time to Overturn DOMA," and he really. Did a massive mea culpa and said it was very wrong. I'll just quote one thing from it. When I signed the bill, I included a statement with the admonition that, quote, enactment of this legislation should not, despite the fierce and at times divisive rhetoric surrounding it, be understood to provide an excuse for discrimination, end quote. Reading for those words today, I know now that even worse than providing an excuse for discrimination, the law is itself discriminatory. It should be overturned. And so he spends his whole editorial space calling for the overturn of DOMA, that this was a mistake. We need yeah. to undo it and move forward. And I think that's just extraordinary. He was the president who signed this bill. Mm-hmm. And just a powerful statement that it's wrong. It needs to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, President Clinton.
Yes, thank you.
And Bob, what are you looking forward to now with Lobby Day?
I mean, I think it's going to be a great opportunity to go see our representatives in Texas, and even if it's their staff, you know, it's just as powerful because those are really the people that are guiding them and letting them know what their constituents are thinking. And it's important to be counted. People make decisions, and these polls show that it's association with people who are out and gay who. Are their friends? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they say that's not so different, and it's really, really important. Those individual one-on-one connections that you make that allow people to change.
Saul, how many people are you expecting on Monday?
It should be about 400.
400. Oh,
yeah.
That'll be a record.
Yes. And if you can't go, call your legislator and say I wanted to be there.
Exactly.
And they're calling instead.
Yes.
And that's
session.
A way. That is a way to do it.
Yeah.
I want to thank you both for being here on Lambda Weekly, and we will be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.
Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.